Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves his people so much. He is steadfastly faithful in redeeming those that are redeemable. And he knows who will listen and who will hear him out. And he ministers life to people through godly men and women. And he uses the pastors that really love him, you know, in Jeremiah and also in, I believe, in Isaiah, the Lord said he would send pastors that share his heart. And they preach and they minister to the people. And the people, everybody knows somebody that knows somebody. So we hear the word and we reveal it to people. We live a godly life publicly. Billy Graham used to say, we announce Jesus publicly. And when we live publicly the word of God, then God will use us to win the lost. And I'm going to tell you something about people. If you do something that blesses them, they don't always come and tell you. But you'll find out in heaven that many eyes were watching. When they see the enemy is going to try to present you with all, he's going to try to take away justice, give you problems, you know, people won't treat you right, and you're walking in love, and see, the enemy is going to be the enemy. The other broadcast we did about how the wicked are going to do wicked. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I read what God gave me on March 21st. You know, the first part of it was all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. So that statement alone shows you the problems we're going to have with people when people are not committed to God. All you have to do is love the world somewhere. You know, the world system is defined by three things. It's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So when men start watching pornography and they give in to it, they automatically, unconditionally have enmity against God. And the worse, the more they do it, the more they condone it. And they're beginning to be leavened. After a while, it's going to be out of control. And you can't hide it. You're going to lose your appetite for the things of God and gain an appetite for something that's poison. Same thing with lust, with pride or greed. When people depend on things to make them happy, it'll cause the same problem. You start protecting the things that, you know, that you're given to, that you love more than God. But the Lord, yesterday's broadcast, it was called Many Bonuses. Well, today is March the 24th, 2022. It's a Thursday, March 24th, 2022. And yesterday's was Many Bonuses, and the Lord pointed out, I shared how as I received revelation, I received many bonuses with it. Not just the revelation that I initially asked for, just to stay out of trouble. I learned a lot of life lessons in asking the Lord to teach me how to love his people. When as revelation came and kept coming, I gained abilities I didn't know I would gain. And I explained it in yesterday's broadcast. So when people love the things of God, they gravitate to the things of God. They have appetite for the things of God. They desire the things of God. They want more of what is of God. But when you start loving the world system, God said all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. Now, the Lord has to work with us. Only reason I pointed that out, the people that share this unconditional enmity with God, because they love the world system, it's going to affect the way that they respond in life. It's going to affect the way they treat godly people. See, if you have a problem with God, you're also going to have a problem with the lifestyle of God, with the life of God, with the life that comes from God, even the love that comes from God, the wisdom that comes from God, and the purity that comes from salvation. So when you see other people, the first thought of a person that's declining, he's leaven or she's leaven with their love for the world. Remember, the pure to the pure, everybody's pure. To those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. So they're going to start having problems with the people whose life represents the lifestyle of God. It's unconditional, even if they're married to him. So that's why you think Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace but a sword." He's going to divide the daughter-in-law from the mother-in-law, and the, you know, sometimes wives and husbands, sometimes it's people in the house will be your enemy. Now, that's a hard saying, but see, those who really love God, they're going to follow God. And enmity, God is the one who put enmity between his seed and Satan's seed. So when people align themselves with the world system, guess who's pulling the strings to the world system? Satan is. They're aligning themselves with Satan. And if they get in gross fear, anybody that's in fear is aligned with Satan. They don't want to be. Sometimes our loved ones have unchecked fears. Sometimes Christian people have unchecked fears, and Satan uses it to harass your life. And that fear always causes you to do something that you shouldn't, because you're in fear. You can't. The Lord said, "Don't worry about money in my presence." So when I stopped worrying about money, money started coming. But if I feared or worried to get it, I couldn't get enough. So I seek the Lord. When things are not working right, you need to ask the Lord what's going on. That's what I did. I said, "Lord, something's not right. I have a problem prospering, and I don't know what it is." I really didn't know. As much as God taught me, I still didn't know. And there are many things I don't know. But I do ask the Lord, and when he showed me, when he told me, when he exposed the problem, it was a worry, fear kind of thing. Because he said, "Don't ever worry about money in my presence." See, this is why he said that. If you're living a life, a godly life, and you're with the intent to serve God and man, and you love people, you must prosper. There's no way you can't. It's impossible not to prosper. Even the job you work at, or the place of business you work at, or even if you have a business and your business works together with other business, people will prosper because you, God will prosper others because you're involved. You know, when you live the life of God and you're not trying to hurt anybody, you're trying to be a blessing to people, people detect that. People that love the world got just as much sense as we do. And sometimes they seem to have more. Jesus said that people in that generation, I don't want to mess it up, so I'll just look at it. In Luke chapter 12, I think it is, or Luke 16, he said that people in that generation are wiser than the children of light. And, you know, in other words, they operate in their kingdom better than we do in ours. So it's, here it is. I highlight it. He said, here it is, Luke 16:8. "The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." So they operate the world system better than we operate the kingdom that we have to get used to operating the kingdom of God and how it works. And many times people don't understand, or even people that's far along in ministry don't know these things, that when you do things God's way, when you follow Jesus, especially when you're living in obedience to the, not just the word of God, but also the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If God tells you to do something and you promptly do it, you won't miss those golden opportunities. I was telling my pastor about how God said that God gives golden opportunities. And he told me that years ago. The Lord told me that every day he gives his people golden opportunities. They just don't know it. Some people know it, some people don't. And Pastor McCann is one. Now, this is Senior Pastor McCann. his son is the pastor now. His son is the pastor of Victory Christian Fellowship now, but I still affectionately call him Pastor McCann, you know, so many years. So when you, and I've seen him, I've seen the Lord give him good direction, and he didn't miss his golden opportunities. He received his more than any other pastor I know of. And I know some pastors, but I've seen him frequently receiving from the Lord. And the Lord, he follows God. So when you follow God closely, you can do things you normally could not do. And the more people do that, the more God can use you and trust you. See, the reason people don't promptly trust God is because there's a trust problem. You can have faith in him, but not trust. Trust is something that it helps you take steps you wouldn't normally take, especially if you trust him quick. If you're quick to trust him, not slow to trust him, but when the Lord speaks, you act. Now, those are the kind of people he can trust. If you trust God, and you promptly act on his word, and God can trust you with information, and you handle the holy things that God bless you with, you handle it wisely. Where God's going to get, it's wise for God to give you more. So it's like when I did everything works that way. When God gave, when I wanted to talk to dialogue with the Lord, I got serious. Elder Lewis said many years ago, he said, get down to business with God and he'll get down to business with you. Well, that's a sermon I'll never forget, because I wanted that dialogue relationship. I wanted to know God face to face like Moses did. I wanted him to be able to talk to me, and I ask him questions and he can answer me, and I could live, I could do better by him. And I ask him all kind of things. I don't just ask him about Christian things or religious things or just life things. I ask him about all kind of things. Anything I'm interested in, I ask the Lord about it. And I've gotten many answers. You know, I ask him about creation, other planets. And I never really asked him about animals much, but if I did, he'd answer that too. But I asked him about cars. I asked him about people, how to love people, all kind of things about ministry. I love every time he come to me talking. So when you take time with the Lord, and as I was faithful in ministry, if God gave me a word for somebody, I made it my business to get that word to that person. And I didn't let anything stop me. Sometimes the people, you know, I would feel weird, but I would find a way to get the word to him. Well, guess what? Next time the Lord needed me to give somebody a word, he would give me words more frequently because I was faithful. I wouldn't give up. And the years that he sent me to pastors, I was faithful. I made myself go. So God, every time he needed me to do that, he sent me out. Until it was time to do something different. And so I didn't just stop. I had to keep a good attitude. I didn't always have the best attitude, being honest, but I had to, I made myself obey him when I didn't want to, or when I didn't see what he was getting at. So faithfulness is very important. So when I did the living letter, the living letters, every time I wrote them and published them and gave them away, I was sowing them, because I know people don't like to read a book from an unknown author. So I was sowing into the ministry. So God would use me because I love to write. Well, he gives me a lot to write. So that's how I did it. And I wanted to, Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. I took that literal. Now, it's not wrong to sell books, of course, because sometimes it's better. But I made mine available on the internet from the time I, once I got on, when I began the radio broadcast, I began Living Letter Ministries. But now my only website is newlivingletters.com. And the first website is gone. And I got a new, the card I had on file was updated. I forgot to call and tell them and it went away. So it was an outdated website anyway. That's why I had to get newlivingletters.com. But there's so much information, and I put the books that I wrote on newlivingletters.com. So in other words, when you're faithful, God, he will not waste good. He will always use what you provide him with. So when you multiply by faithfulness. I even had a word saying multiply by faithfulness. And that's how God is. I know him that way. If you're faithful in something, he's going to give you more of it. That's why if you're fruitful at all, multiplying is easy if you're fruitful in the first place. But when people become unfruitful, there's no way in the world they can multiply. They become the opposite of God's will. If you can't at least be Christ-like in your life and conduct, then if you can't do that, you can't win souls either, because God don't want a worldly person representing him. And it is impossible to love the world and then represent the Lord correctly in the first place. And if you don't believe that the Lord don't want worldly people representing him, just read Isaiah chapter 6, because God blinded Israel and eventually Judah. He blinded Israel. Israel went into captivity first. Judah went into captivity second, 100 years later. But the blindness started with Isaiah. He blinded them, and they couldn't get it right after that. They didn't even ask for help anymore. Now, when you start reading the Judges, when they get taken over by a godless, witchy, Gentile nation, you know, full of witchcraft and debauchery and sex magic religion, that's what they did, Baal worship. When they got into that, then whenever the, if you start in Joshua and then Judges, especially after Joshua died, they would at least ask God to help them and forgive them one more time. And they did this throughout Judges. They asked God to help them. And the further away you got from the first battles, as when you get to the kings, you know, they stopped. They didn't ask God to help them like they used to. They started getting more and more. Every generation got worse and worse and worse and worse until God had to just drive their behind out of the land and let it sit until the end times. And now he's kept his word. He regathered Israel. And even now, people are blinded, but a lot of Jewish people are getting saved. And, you know, the Christians and Christian nations and Christian people are helping the Jews when they need help. And the relationships are better. So people are starting to get saved again, born again. And many Jews have come back to the Lord. And thank God for Sid Roth and Pastor John Hagee and everybody who loved. I love the Jews. And, you know, when I first got saved, I prayed for Israel often. And every time I think about it, I pray for Israel. I don't pray for them enough, but I pray for them often, not as often as I desire to. But when it's on my mind, I pray for the peace of Israel, just like the Psalms talked about. I love Israel. Salvation is Jewish. I'm a Gentile. I was a Gentile. I'm grafted in. I'm grafted. I thank God that I'm in him. I thank God that I'm part of the body of Christ, which includes Jews and also Gentiles. And Jews are first. And I thank God for order. And I wished, I wish that all the Jews would have been God-fearing instead of loving the world system. And that's a prime. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. If you love something in the world system, you get leavened and you think that way. Just like the Pharisees. Not all God. See, God has, he always has a witness from every corner. You know, that was Nicodemus. I believe Brother Nicodemus got saved. And Brother Paul was a Pharisee. He got saved. We know he got saved. And I believe God had some priests that actually got saved. And also some Sadducees that got saved. See, God's not limited. And I thank God for, I even heard Pontius Pilate, and his wife and him, and also he got saved. And there's a book about him and what all happened after that. And the letters he wrote to Herod, the letters Herod wrote to him. And they all got saved. I'm happy they did. You know, I love to see people get saved. I love to see a wicked man get saved, too. It just frustrates Satan when somebody he thought he had turned on him. I like it. Anyway, and I would love to see some of our politicians get saved. I'll laugh at Satan if they get saved. The ones that did the worst, and then they turn on Satan and get saved. I'd love to see that. I'd rejoice with them. But, you know, I don't rejoice in a person going to hell. And a lot of them are going to go to hell, too. I know some things that the Lord told me he's going to do. And but I don't rejoice in a person's demise. I wish that every man would repent. That's the heart of God, folks. I don't believe in hope. I want everybody saved. If it's possible, I let them be saved. If they want to come, God wouldn't. Kenneth, I like the way Kenneth Copeland put it. He said, God will for no reason cast you out if you want to get saved. You know, the word said, no wise will he turn aside somebody that want to come into the kingdom of God. But, you know, the only thing that will stop it is the love for the world. See, a person that loves the world system, they become the enemy of God because they love the world. I'm going to read it again. All who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. And he said, I read the whole thing since I brought it up because it fits. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it is there. It's there. Only people who believe God love God. Only people who believe God love God. See, people that don't believe him, they don't love him either. If they love the world, as long as there's a love for the world, it sets you up to be unconditionally to be have enmity against God and the things of God, the life of God, and also the people of God. But see, when people see more light, then and just like King Pharisee Saul, he thought the way he did, he was deceived. He thought he would have been betraying God if he sided with Jesus. And he didn't hear the word to get the word down on the inside, but he heard the message of Stephen. And it pricked his heart. And the word started forming in him. Because everything that Stephen said, it made sense. It was new to the Jewish mind. But it was the love of God, and if you study what Stephen preached, it was the wisdom of God, the love of God, and the purity of God. It was all there. It was light. So it was something that Pharisee Saul couldn't deny, but he kicked against it out of habit, not out of defiance. And when the glory of God knocked him down, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And that's how he got saved. He called Jesus Lord. He said, "I'm Jesus. Why do you persecute me?" And he was persecuting the people. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he obeyed him from that point on. He was really his Lord. And he counted his Pharisee business as poop, as dung. You know, some people will use the four-letter word, but we'll just let it go. Now, when you're in agreement and when you really love the world and your heart is hardened in pride, you're going to be in enmity with God. You'll act like See, some people act wrong, but and they're just deceived. When they see more light, they'll get saved too. God knows this, and he can work with people. Some of the people that have done terrible things, when they see the light, they'll change, they'll repent. And they'll desire salvation, and then the Holy Spirit can work with them, and they'll stop being the enemy of God and start loving God. But only people who believe God love God. He got to a point where he believed Jesus. Then he loved Jesus. But before he believed him, he was a Pharisee, and he acted like a Pharisee. But then there are Pharisees that knew that Jesus was Lord, and they hated it anyway because they loved the world more. And so it is with anybody that refused to get saved. People in the world and people that love the world, they got just as much sense as we do. They're still made in God's image, and they can decipher things that's right and wrong. And when things get really hard, they find a Christian to pray for them. I know this. I've been there and done that. And I've seen it happen. People have come to me with personal issues because they saw. See, the glory of God that's on your life, it's invisible to the eye, but it's noticeable to everybody. When you live to honor God, the glory is vividly noticeable. Even to those that's what, okay. People that are atheists and they got a problem with Christians. Why do they have a problem with Christians? It's because they notice the invisible glory of God on their life. You know, see, the glory can be anything God needed to be. It can be light. It can be a cloud by day. It can be fire by night. And it can be the glory that rested on Jesus. People came all the way out to the plains and to the mountains and to hear his word. Why? Because the glory of God was on him. And when he spoke, they heard something. See, only people who believe God love God. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. See, it takes time. It takes time with God to know him and interact with him. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord. The glories such as salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, knowledge, wisdom, glories. These things are glories. They will not enter the glories of the Lord, nor can they value it. That's a bigger problem. They don't enter in, neither can they value it to come in. But people who begin to value it and begin to want in, the Holy Spirit can help them see and come to the point of faith. So the word that they receive, it develops into faith, and then they get saved. They will never yield. All right. Let me back up. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord, nor can they value it. They will never yield. They are opposite. They are fallen. They remain fallen, saith the Lord. And that's a problem because they love the world. They won't let it go. It's kind of like the bulldog that grabbed that hot rib off the barbecue grill and won't let it go. It's burning his tongue, but he won't let it go. All right, the last part. They are not subject to me, nor can they be. This is the Lord talking. They are not subject to me, nor can they be. Only those who love and come to truth will receive salvation. All others will reject it according to the parable of the sower. And the three reasons, you know, four types of heart. Wayside, stony heart, a stony ground, and the seed that fell among thorns, then the good ground. So, the first three reasons, that's why their heart is too hard, or they don't grow roots, or they let other things choke the word, they become unfruitful, so they can't multiply. But guess what? I said all that to say this. If you love God, and you honor him with your life, you seek to honor him with your life, and you seek to be faithful, your intentions are to be faithful and God-fearing, and live the life of God, whatever you do by faith, it will multiply. You don't have to worry about money in his sight. You don't have to worry about loneliness in his sight. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. And you're complete in him. And you don't need props and crutches to make you somebody. You know you're somebody because of who you love, Jesus. Who you believe, Jesus. Who you receive, Jesus. You're complete in him. And see, you don't have to beg, borrow, or steal. The glory that rests on your life will attract whatever you need. And people will help you. But don't try to do this as a show-off. Be a servant. I asked the Lord once, I said, Lord, how can a man go to another city or another county where he knows nobody? And he get out of a taxi cab there and he doesn't know anybody. In 10 years, have a thriving business. And the Lord said three words. He can do that. He can have a thriving business in an unknown area if he will be a servant. So whatever God has given you, seek to serve him. If God gave you spiritual gifts, use them to be a blessing to people. If he gave you, I know people that's got healing gifts, but they want to use it in church. Well, that's a traditional place to use it. You need to go out where people are and lay hands on people. If your hands got hot, he gave you a healing gift, you need to go in prayer and yield to the Lord and use that gift to be a blessing. When he gave me the writing gift, well, it's actually prophetic utterance. That was the gift. But I used to write down what would come to me prophetically. And as I was faithful, he gave me more. If you're fruitful, you can multiply. If you can't be fruitful, you can't multiply either. And if you're fruitful and multiply, then you can give. So I was fruitful to write it down. I gave it out. I multiplied. The second one was a multiplication, because to multiply is to at least double. And then I gave it out. And so God could bless me. He taught, and through all this, I learned to subdue my life and operate in dominion. These are the principles you got to have. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And